hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Chile will challenge world champion Germany in Sunday's final at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament in St. Petersburg, Russia. The Germans advanced Thursday with a 4-1 victory over Mexico in the Black Sea coastal city of Sochi, Russia, where the 2014 Winter Olympics were held. 22-year-old Schalke man Leon Goretzka scored two quick early goals for the Germans, who sent a young squad to Russia and now are one victory away from another international title. Mexico, meanwhile, will go to Moscow to play Portugal in Sunday's third-place match. The Portuguese lost to Chile Wednesday 3-0 on penalty kicks in the first semifinal. In more football news, the U.S. men's national soccer team will host the Black Stars of Ghana Saturday in an international friendly match in East Hartford, Connecticut. The Americans are using the game as a warm-up for the upcoming CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament, which kicks off July 7th and will be staged in 14 cities across the United States. The Black Stars of Ghana, meanwhile, are coming off a friendly loss to Mexico's B team in the southwestern U.S. city of Houston, Texas, as we hear now from reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
The Black Stars of Ghana on Wednesday lost 1-0 to Mexico in Houston, USA. This Saturday, July 1st, Ghana will face USA at the Pratt and Whitney Stadium in Connecticut. Mexico, engaged in the ongoing FIFA Confederation Tournament in Russia, used their second team in the Houston game, while Ghana's key players were also absent. Unlike the Mexico game, history reminds that Ghana is still on top of USA after their three encounters in the last three editions of FIFA World Cups and would like to win this game to renew their lead, while the USA, playing at home, would also like to redeem their image with a sound victory and may have sent a stay-out-of-trouble message to the Black Stars. Meanwhile, Ghanaian soccer fans in New York and Connecticut are still rushing for my tickets to cheer their Black Stars to victory. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori.
Thanks, Kwabena. Kwabena talks about Ghanaian soccer fans in New York and Connecticut rushing for match tickets for Saturday's friendly against the USA. The USA's head coach, Bruce Arena, says American fans in Connecticut are solid supporters of the team.
I know we're selling tickets there. New England and state of Connecticut in particular has always been a good state for the national team program, so we're looking forward to getting back there.
The Americans are getting back there after a training camp this week in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. Coach Arena talks about his team.
They're doing well. You know, we have a relatively new team, so first couple of days are devoted to giving them a few ideas and the way we think we want to play, and then they getting to know me getting to know them, and they getting to know each other. So it's all these little things and just building relationships from the start.
USA coach Bruce Arena selected 16 Major League Soccer players for his 23-man squad. One of the MLS players is Dom Dwyer, a 26-year-old British-born striker for Sporting Kansas City, who's hoping to make his first international appearance on Saturday against Ghana.
It's something I've really worked hard for. You know, it's really nice to actually be here now and be around the guys. Just want to really try and integrate myself into the group. You know, they're a very nice bunch and they're very welcoming. So I'm really excited to be here and, you know, hope I can really contribute to the team.
That's Dom Dwyer of the U.S. men's national soccer team. The Americans will host Ghana Saturday in an international friendly match in East Hartford, Connecticut. Joining us now with more sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson tips off with African basketball.
We begin with the withdrawal of Angola from the hosting of the 2017 edition of the AfroBasket Championships. With Angola's withdrawal, Tunisia will again submit an application for a joint organization with Senegal. In the event of a green light from FIBA Africa, the competition will take place from September the 8th to the 16th, and each country will host two pools of four teams each in the first round, while the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final will take place in Tunisia. And now to table tennis, where Africa's highest-ranked player in the world, Nigeria Aruna Quadri, says he will not be focusing only on Egypt's Omar Asar when the 2017 ITTF Africa Cup serves off in Agadir, Morocco on Saturday. According to him, there are more threats to his dream than just focusing solely on the Egyptian. Aruna Quadri, who has been listed among the Foreign Legion competing at the Maiden Ultimate Table Tennis Championships in India and at the moment representing Egypt's Al Ahly in the ongoing African Club Championships, believes he has more competitors than Asar to battle against in the African Cup. And in athletics news, South Africa's Wade van Niekerk clocked the best time ever in the men's 300 meters with a time of 30.81 seconds at the IAAF World Challenge League event in the Czech Republic. The previous record of 30.85 seconds was set at an altitude in Pretoria in 2000 by American Michael Johnson. It was the second time the 24-year-old South African has upset Johnson, having broken his 17-year-old 400 meters world record when racing to victory at last year's Rio Olympic Games.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. Still a positive step forward for the season. The nerves was quite high seeing that I'm doing the 300 today. And yeah, I'm blessed, I'm grateful, and thank you to the people from Ostrava.
And now to football news. Tanzania have qualified for the quarterfinals of the 2017 COSAFA Cup despite being held to a 1-1 draw by Mauritius in their final Group A match at Mulunya Stadium on Thursday evening. The Taifa Stars finished on 5 points, the same total as Angola, who were held to a 0-0 draw by Malawi in a concurrent match at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium, but placed first thanks to a superior goal difference. They progressed into the last eight and will now face host and defending champions South Africa in the third quarterfinal set for Sunday evening at Royal Bafokeng. But for South Africa's head coach Stuart Baxter, winning the COSAFA Cup tournament will not be his priority.
We need more out of it than just a positive result. We need information. So I want to form that sort of pathway that young players can follow. That it's not just hit or miss.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20, and 2200 Universal Time. That's WhatsApp.
Hey! Nelly Kubwai, but tell me where you're going.
What?
Why do we get them on my shop, me land?
Them on my shop, you land?
Hey, them on my shop, me land. Them be shun.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym, we do training. Sometimes I want more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao is in Brisbane, Australia, where he'll fight local favorite Jeff Horn on Sunday. At stake will be Pacquiao's WBO welterweight title. The bout at Suncor Stadium in Brisbane is being described as the biggest boxing event ever on Australian soil. The 29-year-old Aussie Jeff Horn, nicknamed the Hornet, was asked by reporters if he's ready for the challenge of fighting in front of a possible record crowd of 55,000.
There's not much difference in the crowd size, is there? From 1,500 crowd size to 55,000, it's a massive jump, but I guess where I fought before has been in a small location, so the crowd kind of seems louder than it is. It kind of echoes in the room, but to be in a stadium like Suncorp, the Cauldron, who knows? I don't know. I've never been in a situation like that before, but I think the more pressure that's on me for a fight, the better I perform.
Jeff Horn was born in Brisbane, and he has a professional record of 16 wins and one draw with 11 knockouts. And he's not afraid to dream of defeating the Pac-Man.
Yes, I've dared to dream, that's for sure. It's something I've had to do for a long time now, and even just dare to dream to get this fight in the first place has been a dream come true. So I've definitely been dreaming about that belt being put around my waist.
This is by far the biggest fight of Jeff Horn's career, and he's looking forward to it.
I'm very excited about the fight this Sunday. I'm very happy about the support that has happened with this fight, I guess, with 45,000 already sold. If you still want to go, I know it's last minute, everyone usually wants to go. There's still tickets at $39 to get there. So you don't want to miss history in the making. Also a main event, you can book it there. I've trained so hard for this fight and I've done everything I can to get this win. So hopefully all that hard work pays off and I can beat a champion like Manny Pacquiao on the day.
Meanwhile, Manny Pacquiao's promoter is Bob Arum. And here's how he sizes up Jeff Horn.
This kid, Horn, is a big, strong kid, takes a good punch, gives punches really well. He's fought some good pros like Bailey, like Ali Faneca. So I really believe that he can give a tremendous account of himself and give Manny a lot of difficulty.
Bob Arum adds that with Manny Pacquiao now 38 years old, it's tough to gauge how sharp he is as he gets ready for Jeff Horn.
Manny has been one of our greatest fighters of the era. He's very fast. He knows how to move. But remember, he's getting older. Athletes get older. An athlete who reaches a certain age does not perform as well as he did when he was younger in his peak. The question is, how old has Manny become? I talked to Freddie today at breakfast, Freddie Roach, and Freddie said that he sees more in Manny training for this fight than he had Manny training for the previous two fights with Bradley and Vargas. So we'll have to see.
Bob Arum says American boxing fans will get to see Pacquiao Horn on the biggest cable TV sports network in the USA.
Manny Pacquiao's fight with Jeff Horn will be shown free to the American public on ESPN, the largest sports network in the world. ESPN is going all out to promote the event. By far, this audience in the United States for a Manny Pacquiao fight will dwarf anything that he has done in the United States in the 15 or 16 years that he's been fighting, where his fights have been broadcast in the United States, by far. We're looking forward to an audience as large as 10 million people in the United States, and it may be larger.
That's the longtime American boxing promoter, 85-year-old Bob Arum, and he was speaking in Brisbane, Australia. Pacquiao's trainer, Freddie Roach, tells us what else is at stake besides that WBO belt.
Manny's like, I think, in a must-win situation. He wants a rematch with Mayweather. I mean, to get Mayweather, you have to look good. Against Jeff Horn, he has to look good. I mean, he has to be impressive. I mean, he has to say, you know, they, again, you know, we're back on, I think in America, the fight's on ESPN, which is big, and I think he's, it's a good way to get his pay-per-view audience back. This is the key fight for it right now. There's a lot riding on this fight, and I feel Manny has to look really good in this fight. The way training camp went, I think he will. It's the first time we've had two knockdowns in training camp, and we haven't had that in about maybe 6 years, and I've been waiting for that for a while now. And so he's a lot more explosive than he's been than usual. And, you know, Manny at one time was a real puncher and a gunner and so forth. And he decided that he didn't want to hurt people, and just winning decision was enough. And I think he's realized that he needs more than that.
Hall of Fame boxing trainer Freddie Roach, who will be in Manny Pacquiao's corner on Sunday in the Battle of Brisbane. Meanwhile, Brisbane boy Jeff Horn is trained by Glenn Rushton.
This is where he walked in here 11 years ago as a bullied school kid and had never thrown a punch in his life. And to take Jeff through the steps and to temper both his mind and his body, and it's taken years of just, it's psychology and science. Boxing is not just, you know, obviously hard work. There's a lot of psychology, there's a lot of science trying to temper his mind and body to the point where he is today, and he's like a samurai warrior these days. You know, he's a really, really fierce competitor. It's taken time.
Glenn Rushton was asked by reporters if he thinks there will be a knockout in the Battle of Brisbane.
Yes, I think there's a good chance. If someone said to me, I think there's probably about an 80% chance this fight will end in a KO, and I would suggest that it would happen late in the fight, probably not earlier in the fight. I think we're going to see a real war, and it's just going to get tough towards the end.
That's Glenn Rushton, the trainer for Australian boxer Jeff Horn, who takes on Manny Pacquiao this weekend in Brisbane. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Very happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Friday?
So some big life events in the soccer world, and we'll start with Cristiano Ronaldo showing off on social media two of his biggest and best accomplishments so far, which is really saying something for an athlete of his caliber. These two accomplishments, his two new twin babies, apparently born to a surrogate in the U.S., posting on Twitter a photo of the two, one in each arm, and saying, "So happy to be able to hold the two new loves of my life." And that tweet already getting over 150,000 retweets, nearly 500,000 likes in about 24 hours. So a lot of attention on that. Goes on Facebook, and in a Facebook post, he writes a little more about this. He says that he was playing with the national team that unfortunately lost, but he is very happy to finally be with his children for the first time. Already has a son, Cristiano Ronaldo Jr., and now he adds these two children, and another one on the way because his girlfriend is reportedly expecting a child in the next 3 or 4 months. So lots of babies running around the Ronaldo household.
A growing family.
A growing family, indeed. So congratulations to Cristiano Ronaldo and his family. And if we have to congratulate Ronaldo, who else do we have to congratulate? Lionel Messi, of course. We have to be the two greatest. We gotta. They're always linked, the two of those. And today it's hashtag Messi wedding, and that's because Lionel Messi is marrying his fiance and childhood sweetheart, Antonella Roccuzzo. over 150 journalists are sent to cover this. I've seen pictures on social media where it's like the royal wedding in the UK. They're all set up right outside the church with all the cameras and all the levels of people on the risers to film it. But lots of social media coming out of that. Lots of congratulations from fans. And lots of celebrity sightings. Among them, Shakira is there. She'll actually be performing at the wedding, the great Colombian singer. So lots of excitement for Messi and Ronaldo. Of course, as you said, these two guys are always neck and neck. If one does something, the other has to do it better. So one has babies, the other one's getting married. They're just, you know, keeping pace with each other yet again, even in their personal lives.
Andrew, I imagine that Messi wedding invitation would be much coveted.
I think so, although I did see a report on social media that he invited his neighbor, and she's not a famous person. She's just a regular person that happens to live next door to him or in the same area as him, and he invited her, so she gets to hobnob with the celebrities there. But a lot of soccer royalty certainly there as well. We saw a lot of his teammates there.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we have a big tournament coming up this upcoming week, the Championships at Wimbledon. Of course, the third of four Grand Slam tournaments in the tennis calendar year. Lots of anticipation for this coming up. People saying it's Andy Murray's to lose. He has quite an easy path to his potential third Wimbledon championship. But standing in his way, a man who is looking for his eighth Wimbledon championship, Roger Federer, had a great season thus far in 2017, won in Halle, which is one of the grass tune-up tournaments. So a lot of people looking at Federer saying that he's looked so good this year so far. He's already won the Australian Open. He's won at Indian Wells. He won at Miami. So people really keeping an eye on Federer. And Federer and Murray could meet in the final. So people are already pegging that as the final, Murray-Federer. So they're hoping that they get to that point. It'll be a great final to watch.
What about Rafa? Do you like his chances?
Rafa's playing in his first Wimbledon after 2 years. He was out last year with injury, so it's going to be interesting to see how he copes with the grass. He said in the press that he's had some difficulty managing on the grass after the clay court, and Andy Murray could meet Rafa Nadal in the semifinal, while Federer and Novak Djokovic, who's been struggling, could meet on the other side of that semifinal. So a lot of shuffling of the bracket and of the draw, and to see who will finish where on the men's side. On the women's side, it is anyone's to win.
Wide open.
You have Victoria Azarenka and Petra Kvitova coming back after Azarenka's pregnancy, and of course Kvitova recovering from that stabbing incident where she cut her hand. Petra Kvitova is a two-time Wimbledon champion, and in fact, Sonny, there are only two women in the draw who have previously won a Wimbledon championship. Petra Kvitova and Venus Williams. Those are the only two women who have previously won a Wimbledon. So potential for a first-timer or maybe a great comeback from either of those. Venus just turned 37 years old. And Petra Kvitova, of course, if she makes that title, that would be great. She's already said in press, though, she said, "I've already achieved my Wimbledon dream just by coming back and being able to play." So really nice words from her. But it's going to be a nice tournament to watch, an exciting one to watch on the women's side and the men's as well.
And the championships at the All England Lawn and Tennis Club, they begin on Monday. Is that correct?
Yes, and they kick it off. The tradition there is that the men's and women's winners will open play on center court. Of course, Serena Williams being the women's winner, she's not playing because she's pregnant. So runner-up from last year, Angelique Kerber, will be playing instead.
We have about 45 seconds left in the program, Andrew. What else is trending?
So we talked about Jimmy Butler, the recent addition to the Minnesota Timberwolves from the Chicago Bulls, and he held his first press conference, asked about claims from other players that he's not good at motivating his team or helping him succeed. So he responds by giving out his phone number. He says, "My phone's in my back pocket. Whoever has anything to say to me, you give me a call." Well, he did take some calls from fans. There was a video on Instagram where he was FaceTiming with some fans. And also video on social media of fans trying to call him and getting his voicemail. So a lot of fans love this move. They thought it was awesome. People who don't love it, however, are the people who have phone numbers very similar to Jimmy Butler's. They're getting a lot of prank calls asking if they are Jimmy Butler, and they are not.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the June 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The refugee situation in Uganda has reached crisis proportions, said U.S. Ambassador to Uganda Deborah Malik. In remarks to the Uganda Solidarity Summit on Refugees, she warned, to prevent a broader humanitarian disaster, the response of Ugandan authorities and the international community must address three interconnected issues. First, we must collectively meet the needs of the refugees themselves so they can live in safety and dignity. Second, we must address the needs of local hosting communities to support their resilience. Finally, we must stop the main driver of this refugee crisis, the ongoing conflict in South Sudan, that has displaced millions with hundreds of thousands seeking safety in Uganda. The U.S. government's participation in the summit reinforced the U.S. commitment to the 2016 New York Declaration for Refugees and Migrants, which demonstrated the unity of the international community in humanitarian efforts to save lives, protect rights, and share responsibility on a global scale. The United States, Ambassador Malik noted, is the single largest donor in the affected areas of Uganda. And as conditions have worsened, we have increased our contributions significantly. Since October 2016, the U.S. has provided nearly $154 million for humanitarian assistance, including $57.4 million announced by President Trump on May 24th, and the U.S. remains committed to providing such support. However, said Ambassador Malik, more resources and commitments from both the government of Uganda and the international community are needed. Ugandan authorities have demonstrated leadership in their treatment of refugees, but given the overwhelming numbers, they must begin to do more to protect this population. In particular, the Ugandan government needs to provide more security personnel in settlement areas where there are growing reports of violence, especially against women, she said. Finally, she emphasized there can be no beginning to a resolution of Uganda's refugee crisis without a lasting and durable political solution to the conflict in South Sudan. Neighboring countries and the international community cannot be expected to bear this burden indefinitely because of the unwillingness of the parties in South Sudan to end the violence. 4 million displaced South Sudanese people, including nearly 1 million living in Uganda today, deserve better.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Watch out for the hottest music and music news from across the continent this Sunday. Hear the fascinating story and music of Papillon from Kenya. Find out who's headlining Canada's Nuit d'Afrique Festival in Montreal. Discover new and old music, too, from across the continent. Ever heard of the Malawi Mouse Boys? How about Songhoi Blues or Neba Solo? Gangbe Brass Band? Well, get to it all, peeps. Tune in Music Time in Africa this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Oh, yeah.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is DJ Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.